Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of BG Banter. I'm in the Zoom studio with Dan Rigger Hoyer.
Hello, how's it going?
And myself, Matthew Ha. And we're recording this on Saturday, April 22nd, a bit later than usual. But today, it's a horror-themed episode, specifically recent films that are related to classic horror. And we're going to be talking about Evil Dead Rise and Renfield. And we're going to begin with the former. Evil Dead Rise is the latest film in the Evil Dead franchise. So semi-sequel, semi-reboot, or it's just another film in this series. Like, it just kind of stands on its own. It was written and directed by Lee Cronin, executive produced by Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. And the cast includes Lily Sullivan, Alyssa Sutherland, Morgan Davies, Gabrielle Echols, and Nell Fisher. And the plot of Evil Dead Rise, it's about a single mother and her family living in an LA apartment who is reunited with the mom's estranged sister, and basically a bunch of flesh possessing demons reappear. So it's kind of like the first Evil Dead in a way, just in a new location, but it still manages to stand on its own. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think there's one thing to say about this franchise. It doesn't miss. I think every single piece of Evil Dead media that has been out since the first film has like been entertaining, fun, and creepy. It's just so great. I mean, obviously you got a lot to say about the original trilogy, and you got a lot to say about the 2013 remake, and then oddly enough, like they had a TV show for a while that got canceled, but that was pretty fun too. I mean, there's just a lot of things about Evil Dead that was has always been fun, and this one is pretty much the same thing. It's like it's a fun Evil Dead film. It really still has like the signature like style to it, and the gore, and just kind of the over the top like makeup and horror effects, and it's a fun film. It's not perfect. There are definitely some issues, but it's still a good time. Definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, I really like Evil Dead as a franchise. Evil Dead 1 and 2 are excellent, and Army of Darkness, as strange of a tonal shift it still captures the spirit. I still haven't seen the remake or the TV series, so when this new Evil Dead movie is coming, I'm just like, okay, I'm in. This is my first Evil Dead movie that I've seen in the theater that's like new. I've seen Evil Dead 1 and 2 in theaters at Bijou screenings, but not when they first came out, obviously. So this is the first time I would see a first run Evil Dead film. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's the type of horror film that you're not really supposed to take seriously. You're just kind of supposed to go along and have fun with the ride. And even though this wasn't directed or written by Sam Raimi, it retains the spirit. And I think that's what's really important is that, okay, we could have, as long as a filmmaker is able to capture that spirit, then we're good for more Evil Dead films. And it's one of those franchises where it's so versatile. Like, you can literally take it in any direction and it'll still be fun. I'm not saying that we have to like every single thing, every single future installment in the Evil Dead film, even if it's not good. But when you see the poster, when you see the title, you know what you're getting into. And that's why I felt when watching the trailer, I'm just like, that looks great. And as much as I enjoy it, I do think, at least from what I've seen, it is the weakest Evil Dead film. And I'll get more into reasons why, but just because it's the weakest still doesn't mean it's bad. Like, I still had a fun time with it. It's just there's little things here and there that kind of pale in comparison to the other films. But as a whole, it's super, super bloody. Like, there's some really, really creative and intense kills. Characters are not the greatest, but it gets the job done. Like, you still like are on their side. And yeah, it's just 90 minutes of pure just horror and gore. And it's just like, what more could you want?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think the concept of Evil Dead, just how these films usually go about, are always entertaining. I think they just never get stale. Because it's just, because obviously like the rules of like Evil Dead are pretty clear. Like, they know how one can turn out being possessed, and how they become a part of the Evil Dead. Like, it's all very much so like following its own rules. And just trying a different setup. I do like the idea of like having it in like a soon to be condemned apartment building. Which I thought was like a really clever idea. Like they did such a good job of like, having some like eerie atmosphere in it and just kind of like a lot of stuff that's like pretty like just like a lot of like scenes that are like pretty dark and grim and just a lot of things that really go on just really adding into the atmosphere. And I think, that's what's always been like the saving grace of like all the films is that there is such like a dark atmosphere to them, but it's also like super fun to watch and it's just like I said, it's just Evil Dead. It does what it does.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched upon the location because that was one of my favorite parts of the movie as well, is because we associate Evil Dead with being like sort of like cabin in the woods-esque like horror with like young people. And this one, it's kind of the complete opposite. It's like it takes place in Los Angeles in this like high-rise apartment in this like really not so great area with like a single mom and her kids. But it still feels like an Evil Dead film because they clearly establish all the rules. Even though it's like, yeah, it's a cabin in the woods, they can't leave basically. They're in the middle of nowhere. So how do you bring that to an urban area where it's so easy to like find your way out? But they go through every single possible scenario, be like, okay, this is why they can't get out. The elevator is broken. The stairs are mysteriously disappeared. They have no internet signal. They're like 15 stories up, so they can't just jump out the window. So it's like they thought it all through, and I really, really like that. And it does play around with it takes advantage of its environment because there's so many opportunities for just how creative the kills are. Like there's a scene in the apartment, there's a scene in the elevator, there's a scene in the hallway. So it does diversify it. My one complaint, and I do think this is actually one of the biggest issues I have with the movie, unlike the other Evil Dead films that I've seen, this one is a little bit too dark. And I'm not saying like content wise, it's just like, but visually, it is the darkest Evil Dead film because there are some moments, and I don't know if maybe it's just where I saw the movie, because where we saw it wasn't, the projector was kind of dim, but it's like super hard to see some of the kills sometimes. And I get it. It's like it's a dark apartment. There's no lights, but it's just like, I don't know, even in the first few two Evil Dead movies that take place in the dark, they're lit in a way where you can still see like what's happening, or they create like these really nice shadows. But in this film, everything looks a little too flat for my taste. And I don't know if it's just me that thinks that, but watching it's like, yeah, it's not a very dynamic looking movie, unlike the other few, which were shot on low budget, but that was part of like its charm, was their limitations, how they worked around that. This movie has a, let's see, let me look at the budget. $15 million budget, which is not a lot for a mainstream horror film, but it's still it and there are some really great like practical effects, and some of the digital effects are not that bad too, but it doesn't look great, I would say. It's just kind of hard to see things.
Yeah, and I mean that is probably like a gripe that I think a lot of people have felt. I looked at like a lot of critics' reviews, and they've said that their big issue with the film has been like how lightly dim it was.
Oh, so other people say that
Yeah,
too?
so it wasn't just our movie theater, which and I don't know, they should probably like bring up the lighting a little bit so I don't end up tripping like in the second row of the theater. But I feel like that with this, I could see what they were doing. Like they're trying to make it more naturalistic, I guess, in terms of lighting. But I feel like that, you at least need to see what is going on. I mean, I think my biggest gripe was definitely like, in the climax where, without spoiling anything, there is like this kind of this beast that shows up. I wanted to see a little bit more of that. But it was like so lightly, it's like it was so dim that you only could see like parts of it, not really the whole thing. And like it was kind of like something I wish they would have like did a little bit more with. At least if they were gonna show it more. And they I think they just needed something for the climax, which I give credit. But I feel like they could have definitely shown that beast a little bit more.
I do have a question, and this is something that I was kind of thinking in the back of my head. And I'm not saying this is like a bad thing, but would you say that this film, Evil Dead Rise, is the most mainstream out of the Evil Dead films? Because I believe so.
I think, it could be more trying to appeal to the mainstream. I mean, the elements are definitely there for it. Like you get the oldest daughter in the film kind of like saying, "I'm gonna go out to a protest." And so like, and you do kind of get like some hints about like, the climate when this film was shot. So I'm guessing like, it is something that is definitely trying to have that mainstream appeal to it. And I think it definitely just appears more in the kids than it does in the adults. Like, and not like the youngest, but I think the two oldest definitely it's where it appears. So I think it's so you can kind of see like, they're trying to find ways to really appeal to the audience. And like kind of say like, this takes place during this certain period. Which doesn't specify when it takes place, but I think it like wants to
I think it's just like modern day
Modern
present.
day, and I think like some of it could potentially date the film, I guess. Because I think like to see, I don't even think we need to have hear like the child mention like the protest. Like really, we didn't. I mean, because it wasn't long. But I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of other films did it. Before that, like a lot of horror films back in the day would have mentioned like something of the social climate, but I feel like they wanted to, but I felt like it wasn't really necessary. So I think yeah, it definitely is the most mainstream because even like with the remake, it although it has like a modern take on the original, it is still like Cabin in the Woods setup. Like it's still Cabin in the Woods setup. It doesn't have like. And it has modern technology, but it doesn't try to make it come off as like, well, we're in the year 2013. Like, that's kind of like what this is probably trying to do. Which, I think that can probably make it like one of the weaker Evil Dead films. I don't know. I still had a good time with it. I think it still did its job.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, and I'm gonna repeat myself, is that it's not a bad thing that this is the most mainstream. But what I've realized about the Evil Dead films, especially one and two, is that they have this low budget charm, and you could tell it was an independent production. It was just made the first one in particular was made by a bunch of like college students basically, and they had $300,000 to make like this essentially a big budget home movie. And that's what adds a lot of the charm to it, is the fact that there was no help from a studio. They did it on their own. And Evil Dead 2 was kind of like that as well. It was pretty much independent, but had a much bigger budget. And then Army of Darkness was even bigger, pretty much. But it still was focused on that sort of low budget, independent feel that a lot of the that isn't like a lot of other horror films. And while Evil Dead Rise has it tries to carry over some of the style, like there's some shots where they are clearly influenced by Sam Raimi's cinematography, particularly the opening shot, as well as there's a really I really like the shot through the peephole, like that's really cool. But then once it doesn't do that, it's shot just kind of like a regular horror film. And even the its approach to scares too, I mentioned this to you. Evil Dead Rise has a lot more jump scares than other Evil Dead films, I feel like. And I'm not saying that jump scares are like ruin everything, but it's not. If it feels the most detached from an Evil Dead film in that regard, because it is trying to go for like get the audience to jump. And what's nice about, and I'm kind of going to contradict myself here, but what's nice about Evil Dead is that you don't need to watch the previous films to understand the sequels. It's one of those types of franchises. And I could tell a lot of people in the theater that we saw it at most likely had not seen an Evil Dead film and just like, oh, this is just going to be like The Conjuring or something like that. So in a way, I'm happy that more people are getting introduced to Evil Dead in this way, but at the same time, it's not truly, truly representative of what the original films are. So to me, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. And I think the trailer did a better job of highlighting the Sam Raimi-esque nature of the movie. And because I remember I saw the trailer for this movie behind Cocaine Bear, which I saw with a friend, And my friend was like, who had never seen Evil Dead, who just like, that looks really stupid. And I'm just like, that's the style, that's the tone, like just kind of wacky and weird. And he's just like, oh, okay. So yeah, it's off-putting at first, but the movie doesn't really reflect that based on its marketing. So it's weird how they marketed it towards fans, but also towards general audiences. But yeah, in the end, it's just, it is probably the most commercial for better and for worse. So.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it does kind of like, pose the question of like what could happen to the future of these movies. Because I feel, because obviously, like, you gotta adapt to the modern era of filmmaking. Which, I think Evil Dead has been able to do pretty nicely. Without trying to get rid of like the low budget charm that it has, because even if like 15 million, it's still like a relatively low budget compared to everything else coming out today. And so I think with this, it might, I mean, the hope is like, it still maintains like a budget under 20. Like, I think that's kind of what
I don't want to see a $50 million Evil Dead film.
nah,
No,
definitely
that would
not.
ruin it.
I mean, I feel like Lee Cronin was like pretty, aware of this, and I guess they're like, trying to find the mainstream appeal with it, but also like, still maintaining some of the stuff that's from the Raimi films. And even like the remake. So I think, I think they did a really good job. I think the one thing that we haven't touched on yet is like the acting, especially that from Alyssa Silverstone, who plays the mother. And
Yeah,
oh
she was
man,
really
she
good.
does a great job. I think she really sticks out like among the cast. Everybody else kind of bones it in a little bit, but I would say like she just, since like, she's kind of like more front and center in this film, she's just having a blast. Like, you could tell, like, she, this is like what Evil Dead's all about. Just like, because people forget, like, even in the original, like the acting really helped make the film fun. Like, because the actors are just having such a blast, like, being these like Evil Dead type creatures, and they're just embracing it, and she fully embraces like, the Evil Dead and just like what the style is and how creepy it is. And it works so great. I think she's just the actor that really sticks out among like everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. I would have to agree with that. She was great. I liked the sister too. I thought she did a good job, and especially because she takes on more of like the parental figure, basically, because it's not really a spoiler, honestly. It's just like what the who gets possessed in this movie. But one thing that I wanted to touch upon, despite this movie being more mainstream, it doesn't hold back on the violence and gore, which I was very, very surprised. Because, like, I mean, Evil Dead is obviously very bloody and violent, but like this one in particular goes really all out with just the kills and the stabbings. I'm just like, man, it's like really cool to see this in a theater. And because this was originally going to be an HBO Max original, that was their plan at first, but then it did so well in test screens that they brought it to the theater, which I thought was a very wise choice because, like, yeah, this is something that you want to see with a crowd. It's that type of fun movie. And like, just some of it goes in some insane directions with the kills. And just like, I couldn't believe it, honestly. And I wasn't really expecting that from the trailer. Like, the trailer did a good job of hiding all the big kills and like violence. So like, especially I'm trying to think of like ones that really got me. Like, there's one with like a cheese grater, which is really good, a cheese grater to the leg. And yeah, just a lot of glass. I'll just say that. A lot of glass stabbings.
The glass, like, especially, I think, and I don't want to spoil like, the what the setups are, but I think it's like, how the scenes are like set up is like, what really makes Evil Dead work as like a franchise is that they have, it's kind of like the slow reveal. And because they don't like just come out and jump out at you like haunted house cast members or whatever. They all just kind of like, they reveal the like, the possession, and the and this with a very like solid crazy setup. And then it's like then they start to come after you. Like, that is like probably like the most clever thing about like how they build up to build up suspense of like, what of like a what I can't speak with a lot with what is going on. And so I think that they did a really good job of, like, you know, really realizing that whole thing and just, like, you know, building it up. And I think that worked out beautifully.
And also going back to, like, taking advantage of its environment too, just like how a lot of the violence is used is based on stuff that's around their apartment, which is, there's so much potential just because, yeah, it's like basically fully furnished. And it's like, what can we do with all these objects in this room to present some, like, really cool kills and stabbings? So I'm just like, yeah, it's nice to see when a horror film just doesn't stick with, like, one weapon and they just have, like, this incredible variety of how they approach the violence. So yeah, and like all the other Evil Dead films, it's very over the top violence and gore. But it was just like, I was sitting there, like, during some of these, was like, yeah, that's what I want. This is what I want from an Evil Dead film. It's like, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, I'm guessing, like, my question is, I think this could be the one that might be a big subject of criticism. How did you think the bookends worked out? And you know what I mean with the book.
I do. After the opening scene is great. I will say that. It's a great opening scene. But by the time the movie goes along, you kind of know how the film is going to end. So it was an interesting bookend, but if you pay close attention, you could probably jump to the conclusion that's just like, okay, this is where the film will end, and that's how this event leads to another event in a way. It's almost like this sort of, like, cycle. So it is interesting to set up for more sequels if they were to do so. But as a bookend, it wasn't, in my opinion, the strongest way to end the film, just because I kind of figured that's how it would end. It's like they kind of jumped the gun a bit. So
yeah, I mean, I think,
and sorry, but it also leads to some plot holes too, which I don't really want to get into, but it's just like, yeah. Okay, like, I'm just not even gonna go there because then I'm gonna give away the whole movie. But because they're in an apartment, it leads to some plot holes, and I'll just leave it at that. So
yeah, I mean, it did kind of bug me. I think that's probably one of the more valid critiques about the film, is that the way it starts is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, it really has. It's still like it starts in the classic way, cabin in the woods, and, you know, the Sam Raimi style shots. But I think it kind of makes it seem like that, you know, it's going to be somewhere in the timeline, it's going to be sooner, like somewhat later. But I felt like that, you know, had they switched the graphic to say something else, I feel like it could have, like, made the film a little bit better. But with this, like, but I think, like, the ending, it just didn't stick the way it's supposed to. I think it obviously wanted to end, like, the way that the original Raimi films ended. But it, I feel like, you know, it's just because they didn't have any prior connection with the character involved with it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem too.
Yeah.
So and yeah, like, it's not really character driven. It's not a character-driven horror film, but you can't really end your movie like that, though.
No, you really can. I mean, I feel like if you wanted to, you at least should have had, like, showed some involvement with that character, but not, this character is just not really doing anything. So,
you got anything else to add?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess we could go into final thoughts. Yeah, like I said, and at the beginning of this, like, Evil Dead, like, the franchise, Evil Dead, the franchise just doesn't miss. I mean, even with, like, its weakest effort, I think it's still able to be entertaining. And it's still a fun film to watch. Great performances from Alyssa Sutherland. She just does a great job. I really enjoy, like, the atmosphere and the setup, and I think it just works out great. It's just fun. This is a fun film to watch, and yeah, I think I'm gonna give this one a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's just it's another Evil Dead film, and that's really the best way I could describe it. If you've never seen an Evil Dead film, even though there are some parts that don't truly capture, like, everything about Evil Dead, you get the basic idea. And if you like this one, then I would recommend checking out the other ones if you would like to. yeah, it might be the most mainstream, but it's still a good movie, and I still had a lot of fun watching it. So don't take my opinion the wrong way. I did enjoy this quite a lot. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun horror film, especially one that would probably play well in October. I'm a little surprised they released in the spring, to tell you the truth, but like I don't know. It's like it's one of those movies where I don't really know what else to say other than the fact that it is an Evil Dead film. So yeah. It's currently playing in theaters. Check it out if you would like to. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 as well. We're going to move on from one horror film based on a classic to another one called Renfield. And Renfield is very, very different in that it is a comedic interpretation of the classic Dracula story. Instead of focusing on Dracula, we're focusing on his servant, Renfield. And the cast includes Nicholas Hoult, Awkwafina, Ben Schwartz, Adrian Martinez, Shorin Agashlo. I definitely mispronounced that, and I'm sorry. And Nicolas Cage. And so the plot of Renfield, it's basically about Dracula's servant who's basically been serving him for decades and realizes that he's in this toxic relationship and he longs for a life away from Dracula and tries to start a life of his own. What'd you think?
Well, so yeah, I did a double feature the night we saw Evil Dead Rise after I dropped you off. Like, I went straight to film scene to catch the last, screening of Renfield before they, switched to their slate yesterday. But yeah, I was the only one in the theater when I saw it. I think it was a good time. I think it was very entertaining, a very fun film. And definitely, embrace the camp a lot. I think that's a good element of it because it's obviously a film that's, not going to take story very seriously. It's not going to take any other, it's not going to take super huge risks, but it was a very fun film. I think what helped it was the fact that it had a style to it that really translated super well. It kind of reminded me of another Nicholas Hoult film. I think it's called Dead Bodies or something, or I forgot what it was. It's kind of like a rom-com of a zombie. But it had its own style. It definitely took advantage of it. Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage. I mean, he's just always a fun actor in every film he's been in. It's a good fun camp film. But I think when it doesn't do the camp elements and just kind of tries to focus on story and drama, that's where I kind of got bored a little bit. It just I feel like those are the elements that I think kind of weaken the film. But obviously it is forgivable because of taking advantage of the camp, but I kind of wish it went full in camp instead of just trying to have a dramatic story with it. And I think that's just kind of where the film kind of can falter a little bit. But yeah, I was entertained by it. I was entertained by it, so.
It's interesting to see how this is a Universal film, and Universal for it seems like a very long time has been trying to get some sort of reboot or reinterpretation of the classic monsters out, especially after the success of Marvel. They tried doing that with the Dark Universe with Tom Cruise's The Mummy, which I've never seen, but I've heard was absolutely horrendous, and that there's a good reason why they didn't continue that series. So now they're trying to do something completely different and go for this really self-aware camp black comedy tone. For some people, it's not gonna be their thing. It's not gonna be their type of humor. But for me, as someone who really likes this sort of satirical reinterpretation of classic characters, I found it to be a lot of fun. It's not a great film by any means. There's some moments that are just really, really stupid and really, really ridiculous. But I think the movie knows that. And it just kind of embraces the camp. And that's what I found to be so fun about Renfield, is that it seemed like every little bit of it was self-aware to some degree. Even the scenes that are meant to be very serious in terms of like the character development, there is still this, you're in the end, it's still about Dracula and Renfield. It's like vampires, they turn into bats. There's all these weird powers and stuff. So it's just like, how could you take that seriously in the end? And I think, and it really works. And I think also too, it's only 90 minutes. It's like it doesn't try to overstay its welcome. It doesn't try to overdevelop lore or anything like that. It just gives you the movie and that's it. It's just like you pay your ticket, have your popcorn, leave. And yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun watching it. I really liked Nicholas Holt in this movie. I think he's a very underrated actor and he does a great job playing Renfield. And Nicolas Cage, like, I don't even have to say anything more. He's Nicolas Cage in this movie and he goes all in, just like how over the top his performance is. And him playing Dracula is especially funny because he did a movie in the 80s called Vampire's Kiss, which is one of those like kind of so bad it's good type movies. And as people say, I disagree, but it's just, it's so funny to see him play a real vampire now and just go all the way with how crazy and over the top he can be. So in the end, like Renfield, it's a movie that I don't think everyone's gonna love for sure. And I didn't love it either, but I respect how it just didn't really care about trying to go for realism. It just went all in on just goofy camp. And I think that's kind of rare nowadays, where it's just like you have this movie that's just so self-aware and so satirical in every single way. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it went too all in, I guess. I mean, I felt like it still had like some of those modern like aspects to it that I mean, I don't think that drags it down, but I think like, you know, it's trying to make it come off as like a very modern film, which, you know, it is. So I kind of wish it could embrace the camp a little bit more. You know, I think because, you know, I was almost sold like in the beginning where like, you know, they kind of have Renfield like telling his story and like, you know, they kind of bring back like, I mean, like they bring in these reenactments of like the original Dracula film, which I thought was pretty clever. I think they really did a great job like recreating those and making it a little fun. I think it worked out. Like, I think that's like, you know, where it almost sold me on the camp. But I think the element that really brought it down for me, I was honestly Awkwafina. I mean, this is nothing against the actress. I think, you know, she has shown that she could really act very well. I think Shang-Chi, she did a pretty good job. The Farewell is probably like her best performance. And, you know, when she's given a comedic role, she could be a lot of fun. Here it's like she's trying to be more the straight person in like a very comedic, and like a, you know, straight person in a comedy. Like Renfield's kind of the one that's a little bit more comedic just because of like, you know, how awkward he is and how like a little bit like clumsy he could be. And so I feel like Renfield like was probably the one that, you know, was a little bit more comedic here. But Awkwafina, like, she kind of doesn't pull off, like, because I think they give some type of dramatic depth to her character, which, you know, I welcome, but I feel like it didn't really sell it for me. And her acting was just kind of, you know, it's trying to be funny but also trying to be dramatic. I wasn't sold on it. And I feel like that it really kind of drove me away from the film after a while. But I mean, once it gets to the action and Nick Cage playing Dracula, it's fun. Like, it's a really fun film. But then once it gets to like Awkwafina and some of the in-between stuff that really doesn't add too much to the story, it really becomes a bit of a bore. And that's kind of like something, you know, if it wants to go full in camp, you could have found a way to like, you know, make this character a little bit, either a little bit more funny or just, you know, straight up dramatic to the point where they become the straight man or straight woman in the end of the story. So I feel like that was like something that really drove me away from like, you know, really almost liking this film.
I would say her character is probably, it might just be more of how she's written, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting how this movie, which is about Renfield and Dracula, has basically this whole focus on like a cop story with like drug dealers and stuff. I'm just like, it's weird, but I kind of like that in that regard, just because that's not at all what you expect a movie about Renfield to even be about. I don't even know what, if you were to take this seriously, just like, what would it even be about then? It's just like, let's just throw in something so strange and just kind of run with it. And I think with her performance and the way her character is written, kind of like this weird in between where they don't really know what to do with her by the end of it. So I would say that's more the problem I had. And but everything's just like so cartoonish though. I think that's kind of why I'm more willing to forgive it and give it a pass. Is that, yeah, you do have like this kind of serious underlying story with her character development, yet it's being surrounded by Dracula pretty much, and Dracula and Renfield. So yeah, just I don't know. I really bought into it. And though kind of going back to not going back, but when we were talking about Evil Dead with cartoonish violence, this is even more cartoony. Like, oh my gosh, like the blood, the blood is not realistic looking at all. It looks like Sharknado, honestly.
It's like Hammer horror film boy.
Yeah. Like, but it's so like the kills and the way Renfield like attacks and fights people is so funny to me, just because of the copious amounts of clearly CGI blood is just spraying everywhere. It doesn't look realistic in the slightest, but I don't know. I was surprised to see that much blood in this type of movie, because this film is rated R. It easily could have been PG-13. They easily could have edited it down and just like get rid of the profanity. But no, they just embraced it. They embraced how bloody and just over the top the nature of everything was. And
yeah,
just like, you don't really see that like that type of cartoonish type violence in a mainstream film all that much.
Yeah, and I guess like also what kind of made it a little bit fun is that they kind of had a little bit of a mix of practical effects and
yeah,
like
makeup is good.
Yeah, like they really did a good job, especially like when you see Nick Cage's Dracula kind of like in this setting where, you know, he's trying to rebuild like his endurance and, you know, look a little bit normal. They hadn't had like these makeup effects that look super convincing. Like they do such a good job with like the makeup in that one scene, like when you first see Nicolas Cage's Dracula in this modern world. And it's just a great, like really good makeup effects. And then I think they obviously has blended in like some practical effects in the action scenes. I mean, just some of it you could tell is very much CGI, and I think the film is aware of it. But I don't know, it's like sometimes it was hard to tell at some points because it looks like they were actually holding somebody's arm. Like it was pretty convincing. Like they did it wasn't like convincing in the way like, you know, where it's like a very like groundbreaking visual effect, but it was like a practical effect that, you know, just kind of embraces the camp value that the film is trying to go for. And I thought that was like pretty well done. Like, just, you know, those the effects were pretty like insanely entertaining.
There is one problem I have with its visual presentation, and it's probably my biggest criticism against the movie, is that the editing is really, really poor. Like, especially the action scenes, there's some moments where they cut so much where you can't really tell what's going on. Like, you see the blood, but like that's really it. You're just like, okay, how does this shot correlate to this shot? It's just, yeah, the editing is just in this movie is not good, which is shocking, because the movie had three editors, so maybe that's why. But
yeah, and it's also like there's this like thing, I mean, and just like some choices where it's like, you know, they could have just kept in another shot and wouldn't have wasted any time at all. Like there's this one scene like near the end of like what the action scene at the apartment where Awkwafina like Renfield's trying to get Awkwafina to jump down from the balcony. We don't really see her jump down from the balcony. They just
no, land. Yeah, that was
like,
one.
They just straight up land on the surface. Like they don't even like do anything like that can like hint like, okay, is she gonna fall or? But no, they kind of build it up like she's gonna make it, but it's like, I don't know. I felt like they could have at least added a little bit there. And, you know, there's like times where I think some of the camera could be a bit shoddy during the action scenes. I think that apartment scene is still the one that comes to mind, which is a bit, it tries to have focus, but I think it's like, it's a bit like documentary-like in some way, but I feel like it could have embraced some part of the style, but I don't know, it's still a fun scene. Like they still did a good job with the whole setup of the scene. So I don't know, I mean, I was pretty impressed by it from the action standpoint. I think the story standpoint, despite the fact that I looked it up recently, Robert Kirkman, who is like one of the writers behind and the creator of like The Walking Dead and Amazon's Invincible, which is a great show, like a really good animated show. Check that out if you would like to. I think that having him on the story, I thought was going to be like a huge win, but I think Wakino is having some of the unnecessary elements, or the elements that didn't embrace the camp value. I felt like that could have been either cut or just tweaked a little bit more, because I think the story's there. I think just the script wasn't. Because I think Kirkman, I don't know, there must have been something going on in the story process where Kirkman must have been limited. Which, I think it's a shame, because I think Kirkman's like really solid as like a television show creator and does a pretty good job.
Yeah, admittedly, I've not seen The Walking Dead, so I actually didn't know who Robert Kirkman. I mean, I think I heard of him, but I didn't realize like how much work he's done in the past. And I do think that it is, as a story and as a concept, it is, I don't want to say profound, obviously, because it's not a profound film, but it is a bit of a risk, I would say, just because it is such a off-kilter idea that really has a hard audience to like tap into. I think maybe that's why the movie didn't do too well, is that just people were just like, well, what the heck is this? But as someone who likes those types of reinterpretations when done properly, because there's some that are horribly done, this isn't one of them. But I do kind of respect the fact that like Universal wanted to try and take that risk, because it seems like they're just trying anything to get these classic monsters off the ground. I'm surprised they didn't do more of them after The Invisible Man. And granted, The Invisible Man came out right before the pandemic lockdowns, but that movie was very well received. I personally didn't really like it. I actually like this more than The Invisible Man, which I don't know if that's a hot take or not. But yeah, one thing, did you like the satire, and specifically the strong emphasis on like codependency?
I mean, I
I
did. I mean, it was
thought that
somewhat
was really
funny.
funny.
I mean, I think like, just knowing that concept in general, that it's a semi-abusive relationship between Dracula and Renfield. I found that to be really funny. Like this the whole codependent relationship that, it emphasized, I think, is a part that I think really made the film like pay off in its camp value. Because I mean, yeah, the action's there and Cage is there, but it's like it's that camp value that just really makes it a little bit fun. Like with the codependency and this, like, how they're basically like a married couple, and this is not a very good married couple. And I don't know, I found that to be pretty funny. I think it was pretty humorous in how they did it and just made it seem like less like, because it's kind of like how people kind of interpret it as like a homoerotic relationship, but it was very much more of like a boss worker
Yeah,
relationship.
like this
They kind
toxic
of felt like,
culture. It doesn't really, to me, like, I don't know what other people think about it, especially if people are in these types of relationships. I don't know if it could be deemed, I don't want to say, I think offensive is too strong of a word, but if it's like kind of inappropriate. But I don't know, for me, because Dracula is such an old story, the novel was written in the 1800s, seeing such a modern, like, perspective on like these types of relationships applied to a story that's so like old and also is very fantastical, I find that really, really humorous personally, just to see that. And depending on the execution, I can't speak upon that in terms of its accuracy or legitimacies. But because the movie is so campy and so ridiculous, I think it works in that regard, just because it's just showing, yeah, this is just so silly that we're even trying to connect it in this way, and this is such a major plot point for these characters. And like the movie is basically focused on that, like showing how Dracula is basically this egomaniacal narcissist, and Renfield just has like no, he realizes like, yeah, my life has no purpose, I want to do something more. That's humorous, like I gotta say, like I think that's a really clever idea. in concept as well as in execution. I think it paid off in that regard because I was watching it. I'm just like, this. It's so funny seeing Renfield and Dracula in a like one of those self-help counseling type meetings. Like so much of the movie revolves around like that self-help group in the beginning.
Yeah, and I do think like, you know, the idea of like, you know, Universal kind of doing something more like this, I mean, I'm for it. Like, I think they could do some more campy stuff. I mean, I kind of wish we have more campy media out there. Like films that are not going to necessarily take themselves too seriously and, you know, try to get nominated for Academy Awards, but films that, you know, just could have fun being themselves. And Renfield, like, I think it almost does it. Like, I mean, I think if they just got rid of the Awkwafina storyline, I think it could have just embraced the camp a little bit more. And, you know, I wouldn't be against, like, you know, seeing, like, more of, like, you know, Universal monsters, like, you know, and campy settings. Because I think, like, you know, they tried it with the Dark Universe, like, trying to make it so dramatic, but then just, like, started and stopped on one film.
They started and gave up.
Yeah, because it's like, nah, we just can't pull that off. And, I mean, they tried to. Man, give credit, they tried to, but it just didn't work. I mean, no matter how good of an actor Tom Cruise is, apologies to Kat.
I mean, frick, you could have gotten Daniel Day-Lewis and the movie still. And this is coming from someone, I haven't seen the movie, I'll be honest, I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but bad things about it, so I'm inclined to believe that I wouldn't like this movie either. So yeah, you could have gotten the best actor in the world and I don't think it would have saved it.
Yeah, honestly, it wouldn't have. And I don't know, maybe just embracing being campy, like it's like those Abbott and Costello meets the werewolf films.
Well,
like,
But
I mean, just embrace that. Just embrace the cop being comedic, but also, you know, just being fun. I think,
like,
that's what I want.
The classic Universal horror films do a good job of just creating the atmosphere surrounding these characters, not so much like trying to scare you. Like, it's a different type of approach to horror films that we really don't see a lot. But if you're really to dissect just the idea of classic monsters, it is just kind of silly, I'll be honest. And this is coming from someone who likes classic monsters, so it's like, yeah, why not go down the route of it being just kind of strange and bizarre and kooky at times. So it's interesting to see that with this. I don't know if it would have been different if they were just solely focused on Dracula and not have Renfield as the protagonist, so ultimately that's up for debate. But I don't know, I would like to see Universal try something like this again with another classic monster. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was hoping this would have been like what we do in the Shadows, the mm-hmm. TV series, because he wasn't a big fan of this movie. But I haven't seen the TV show of What We Do in the Shadows, but I've seen the movie, which is excellent, and it's a mockumentary about like the lives of vampires and like all these other like monster mythologies, and it's really, really clever, it's really funny. And yeah, why not do something like that, like just kind of just go full on satire and make it really fun and not try to go for like seriousness. So,
like, yeah, and,
like, do something with the Wolfman.
Yeah, do something. Yeah,
I would say the Invisible Man, but they already did that. And to me, the Invisible Man is so silly.
I mean, I think that story, like, you know, is a little bit of a different story. But with this one, I don't know. I mean, just if you're gonna do like something like this, like, I don't know, honestly, just embrace the camp. I mean, I think Nicolas Cage, like, you know, is somebody, it's like a type of actor you want to have to embrace that, because Nicolas Cage, I think, is pretty aware.
He knows what movies he's in.
Yeah, like he's pretty aware about, like, you know, the roles he takes on. Like, he's, and people have made fun of him for it. They have given him flack for it. Because, you know, they kind of see him as a guy who just can't say no to any performance he wants to take. And, you know,
he's taxes, man.
Yeah, I mean, he has
taxes
to
add up.
I mean, yeah, and like, look, from the Coppola family too, so it's like he's like the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola, look it up. And, you know, but he just does what he wants to do. I mean, I love when I see over the top Nick Cage, and, you know, it's a very effective Dracula too. Like, I think he pulls off Dracula really well.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, although, yeah, it's a bit comedic, it's like, I don't know. Like he's pretty convincing. Like he's a pretty convincing Dracula, even like with the very like hokey voice and like just the way he looks and how he acts. It's like, yeah, this is he's Cage is fully embracing the camp. I wish there was a little bit more of
Oh, I
Cage
agree.
in the film,
Yeah.
but
He's not in it a ton, but whenever he's on screen, it's just absolute gold.
oh yeah, it's just gold. I mean, I feel like, do something. Like, take all the elements from this film, get rid of the dramatic storyline with a side character that we just met. And, it's no flack against Awkwafina, but it's just like, I think, you could have done more with the camp value with some type of story with a cop. But, I mean, obviously not as dramatic, but yeah, you know what I mean. But just take that story away or just tweak it a little bit. And then you can have a full-on camp horror film that is just so fun to watch from beginning to end. And for me, it's like if they had they just gotten rid of some of the dramatic tones, which, yeah, you gotta have drama in your story, but just find a way to have fun with it, like Airplane does, when it's dealing with a dramatic story but also making it satirical. Just embrace it and then just go full camp. Do it. But yeah, good old Renfield.
What was that?
Good old Renfield. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say we're about out of time for Renfield, so should we go into final thoughts?
yeah, I mean, I think when it embraces the camp value and Cajun's performance, it's a lot of fun. I think it's a very entertaining, it has a lot of good action, good performances from Cage and Nicholas Holt. Which, yeah, I didn't talk too much about Nicholas Holt in the film because he is the main character, but I think he did a really good job with his role. But let's face it, we all saw this because of Nicholas Cage.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicholas Holt probably has like a fan base out there that wants to see him in films, but I don't know. I think it's really Cage that brought the audience, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's fun performances from Cage and Holt, and it's a really fun action. I mean, if it tweaked up the editing a little bit and found a way to make Awkwafina's storyline a little bit less prominent, I think it would have been a fun film. But as it is, it's still a fun film. I mean, I think I wanted to be more fun and more campy, but I think as it is, it's just a really fun film. I think I could just give this about, a 5 out of 10, maybe closer to a 6 and a 4.
Yeah, it's pure camp. Like we kind of said, I think we share a pretty similar opinion. It's like not meant to be taken seriously. Like if this type of humor doesn't work for you, chances are you're not going to like the film. But that's fine though, because it's not. I don't think this movie's goal was to reach like try to get the approval of every single audience. I think this movie just wanted to do its own thing and just embrace that, which coming from a mainstream. From Universal Pictures, one of the big major studios, is refreshing to see that it's not just trying to be like, let's make the most money. But no, let's like do something different here. And for most of it, I think it paid off. It's not a great film, and I think we both kind of agree with that. Like there's some elements that don't really work as well. But in the end, I admire just how off the walls and just kind of strange this whole movie is. So yeah, Renfield. Interesting reinterpretation of classic monsters. I think by the time we upload this, it should still be playing at Film Scene. But yeah, check it out if you would like to. I'm also gonna give it a 6 out of 10. I don't know why I said also you gave it a 5. So yeah.
Yeah.
So that concludes this episode of Bijou Banter. Tune in next week where we're gonna talk about Beau is Afraid, the new Ari Aster film, as well as The Last of Us, the HBO Max show, which ended a while ago, but we just want to talk about it. So until then, I've been Matthew.
And I'm Daniel.
And we will see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.